The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
When the Bible mentions God's wrath, let's say in Romans or in Revelation, is it talking about something that is a permanent state with God? Is there any kind of God's wrath that will last forever and never be satisfied? That's our topic today here on Grace in Focus, and we're glad that you've joined us. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. If you want to know more about us, our website is faithalone.org. We also produce YouTube videos Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You can find them at the Grace Evangelical Society's YouTube channel. Once again, our website is faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. This is Ken Yates, and I'm here with my jefe, Bob Wilkin. He's always bossing me around.
I know.
When we're not on air, you guys wouldn't believe it. I mean, he has me, like, clean his desk and vacuum the carpet while he's going to wash his car. That's the kind of stuff he does.
I do not. Where did you come up with this? Y'all don't listen to him. He has a very colorful imagination.
Well, one person who doesn't have a colorful imagination is Caleb, and he has written a great question in here. How's that for a segue here? He's asking about the wrath of God. Now, he doesn't mention the lake of fire, but we'll probably get into that a little bit because maybe that's even behind the question he's asking. But when he's asking about the wrath of God, he talks about the fact that he was talking to his dad, and his dad makes the statement that God's wrath in the Bible is always temporary. It's not an eternal thing, and that's where the lake of fire would come in, even though
right.
Caleb doesn't
mention. And so Caleb wants to know, is his dad right?
Yeah, and specifically, he has two passages in mind. I assume he thinks that these two passages might teach that it's eternal. The first one is Revelation 14, 10 and 11, and the other one is John 3:36. And he says, do these passages teach that God's wrath is not eternal?
Okay, let me give a quick anecdote before we go on. I wrote my first book, Confident in Christ, I think in 99. And in the book, I said that in the book of Romans, in Paul's epistle to the Romans, the word wrath, or orge in Greek, always refers to temporal wrath. It never refers to God's eternal wrath. And Zane Hodges told me, by the way, Bob, there is no such thing as God's eternal wrath. You're right about wrath in Romans always being in time, but you're not right that there is eternal wrath. And so since then, I've changed my opinion because I have studied orge and looked at it. And there's no indication that wrath lasts forever. But let's take this first question. It's on Romans 14, what, verse 11?
Well, in verse 10 is where the word wrath, and he's talking about anyone who takes the mark of the beast. He says, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. So the issue here with Caleb is it talks about the person who receives the mark of the beast.
Right.
And it says that he will drink of the wrath of God. And then the next statement is, he shall be tormented in the lake of fire forever and ever. So Caleb is asking, he doesn't say it in the question this way, but Caleb is asking, well, if he drinks the wine of God's wrath and he's tormented forever, are those the same thing?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And I right. like the way you put it, even though it's not in the text. I would say this is subsequent.
Right.
In other words, he's going to drink the cup of God's wrath during the remainder of his time on earth during the tribulation.
You're talking about especially the last 3.5 years
right.
here. Right.
And we don't know how long he will live. God may take this person's life prematurely, but that person may live out through the end of the tribulation, and he's going to suffer wrath during that time.
All the bowls especially that are poured out.
But the he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone is a new sentence.
Right.
Now, of course, in verse 11, it's a little different. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. Well, that's no problem, because it's just saying the torment is eternal and unending. But then it says, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Well, that's not saying that that's called wrath. It's just identifying
right.
the people who are going to be tormented forever.
Right.
And this isn't even saying this is all the people, because obviously before the tribulation, nobody has taken the mark, and yet they'll be in the lake of fire as well. So it's just saying those people who have taken the mark are going to experience God's wrath in the remainder of the tribulation, and then they'll also experience torment in Sheol until they await their judgment at the great white throne judgment. But that's not called wrath either.
Which will be at least 1,000 years.
Right. But that's not called wrath either. So the wrath, I believe, is in this age. Possibly you could argue that the torment in Sheol or Hades is wrath, but that's not called wrath anywhere. So I would say wrath is limited not only to this age, but to this life.
And certainly we would say the tribulation period will be a time of God's wrath. But we see there that that's temporary.
The whole 7 years
right.
is a time of God's wrath.
That's God's wrath. And so when he says here that he will drink the full strength of this wrath, he's going to be the one who takes the mark of the beast, the last part of the tribulation after the mark is instituted, the full strength of God's wrath.
They may think they're going to avoid the problems. No, no, they're ratcheting them up.
Yeah, their day is about to get very bad.
Yeah.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2024 National Conference is May the 20th through the 23rd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones, great teaching on the theme of free grace in the Epistles of Peter. There's VBS for kids, too. More information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
And then the next one that Caleb asked about is John 3:36.
And this is also found in 3:18, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
In John 3:36, it says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him.
Okay.
And so even though Caleb doesn't word it this way, I'm sure what he's saying is there seems to be the contrast between everlasting life. So you've got everlasting life for the
right.
believer, and the unbeliever has God's wrath abide on him. Wouldn't that be everlasting? If everlasting life is everlasting, wouldn't the wrath be everlasting?
Okay, but if you look at verse 36, when does the believer have everlasting life? I mean, I know it goes on forever, but that's not what John's talking about
right.
in verse 36.
He who believes.
He says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Right now.
That's what I mean. He who right. believes right now has everlasting life.
And has everlasting life right now.
Exactly.
It's going to go on forever, but he has it now. But by contrast, he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life in the future, but the wrath of God abides on him right now. It's not like he's waiting to get the wrath of God. He's abiding in the wrath of God right now. John 3:18 is similar, although it doesn't use the word wrath. In verse 18, the Lord says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there's some sense in which the unbeliever is already under the condemnation. Therefore, implied in that is reaping consequences related to that, which in verse 36 is the wrath of God abides on him now. By the way, verse 36 are the words of John the Baptist.
Right.
Verse 18 are the words of Jesus. Now, some people think verse 36 are the words of John the Apostle, and they think the words of John the Baptist stop at around verse 30, or maybe a few verses after that, but that's not the case. The words of John the Baptist go all the way to the end of the chapter.
Would you say it's precedent too far that in verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, that the condemnation there is that he doesn't have life now?
That's part of it. But if you go back to verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, it seems to me 17 is explaining 16. Mm-hmm. To be saved is to have everlasting life in verse 16. To be condemned is to perish in verse 16. Mm-hmm. So I would say this looks at condemnation. How exactly did you ask the question?
I'm just wondering if the condemnation is the way you say you will...
Lacking life?
Yeah, you don't have life.
Yeah.
So you will perish. I've never thought about it until just now.
That's a good point, because the perishing means you experience the second death, according to Revelation 20, 12, and 13. And the second death is an eternal separation from God and his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, his life.
Right.
So, yeah, I think you could make the point the condemnation is being sent to the lake of fire, right? Verse 15, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
So the person who has never believed in Christ for eternal life is condemned already. We can talk about the wrath of God abiding on him, but it's also he doesn't have life.
Now, when it says condemned already, it doesn't mean he can't be uncondemned.
Right.
Because he could come to faith.
Absolutely.
And all of us are examples of that.
Right.
At some point we didn't believe, and at some point we did. And once we did, we moved from being condemned already to having everlasting life. I kind of like your point that saying to be condemned is to lack his life.
Now, it's implied in Caleb's question that the lake of fire is not the eternal manifestation of God's wrath.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's not, because I would say God is not eternally angry. What the lake of fire is justice.
Right.
People are reaping what they sowed. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that we also reap, Galatians 6:8. So they're going to reap what they sowed, and there'll be different degrees of torment depending on how the unbeliever lived.
But it's not God.
But it's not wrath.
Right. It's not God's wrath, just he's going to be eternally angry at them. Right. Well, Caleb, that was a great question. Obviously, in Christian circles, the idea of the wrath of God is almost automatically assumed to be the lake of fire. And we hope this discussion here causes you to be more encouraged that that's not the case.
Yeah, because there's no verses that use the word wrath in association with the lake of fire. None.
And the great thing is, we as believers have experienced the grace of God.
Amen.
And remember, keep grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, very important, please let us know your radio station call letters and the city of your location. On the next episode, explaining some of the things that were said by Free Grace Pioneers. Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.